What did we discuss last time?
Last time, the design. We talked about the detail design, and I worked only on the work profiler, and we also talked about how we would talk about today concerning the formula, which I have uploaded.
Okay.
On the current paper.
Okay, let me pull it up.
And as well as the two other modules.
What model?
Which is the migrator and the integrator. So in the detailed design, we said much could be said about both, because we have the... And the integrator, we have to make the decision of where to send the request.
The indirector.
We have to decide where to send the request based on if there's a duplicate on both devices.
This one? This big question?
No. Go down a little bit and talk about this one.
One minus sequentiality times popularity times the read ratio.
Yeah, the read ratio.
Okay. And we decided to make them multiplicative instead of additive.
Yeah.
All of these kinds.
Yeah, we did. That's the exact formula I had copied from the board.
Okay.
I have the sheet either, but I copied it from. That's from back then.
Okay. Okay. So it's.
We said we would discuss a little more though.
So it's related to the randomness, directly proportional to how random the block is being accessed, directly proportional to the popularity, and directly proportional to the ratio of reads. And because if it's more writes, then we want to write it to the disk instead. The disk is a better writer than the SSD. But if it's popular enough, then it gets returned to the SSD, right? That's what we want to capture. Okay. And that seems to make sense. Making them multiplicative is, I guess, all right. Okay. Okay, that seems reasonable. So we take into account randomness, the popularity, and the read versus write. Okay. So I think this is all right. We can leave it as it is and use this moving forward. Now, what the indirector and migrator needs to be discussed. Okay.
Concerning the formula, I noticed in the other paper, the mascot paper, they separated the read response and the write response, and using the counts of read and write, they used that to determine the cost of the cost on each individual device. I was wondering if that wasn't a good idea to incorporate in our read and write response, because I know that the SSD has a different read performance and write performance.
Yes.
And even though sometimes the two are somewhat coupled, but most of the time the read performance for the SSD dominates, and I think it would reflect the fact that highly
red blocks
should go to the SSD, because the SSD would always have a...
But isn't that what we're doing here?
Yeah, it is.
the read ratio, the so, and this is per block, right? If the block, if block A got access 100 times, of which 80 times were reads, then this would be 0.8. On the other hand, if the block B, which got access 100 times, only 20% were reads, this will be 0.2, and its corresponding rank of those blocks would reflect.
Yeah, I guess for what is attractive from their point of view is the fact that they are dynamically getting the read performance.
Oh, I see.
The read performance of an individual device, because we know that because the reads and writes are somewhat coupled in the SSD, the read performance might drop because it starts displaying that degradation. And when it starts degrading, I don't know if it'll ever, since the performance is so large, I don't know if it'll ever cross the hard drive. But let's say it did, then we would be handling that case as well.
That's true. The concern though is that the dynamic performance could be a transitory phenomenon. So it could be something that, and then we need to bring in some element of history of performance. Say okay.
Or we take the moving average.
Yeah. So that's what I meant by history, which is that you take into account past performance also.
Yes.
So to average out the current measure of performance. So we could do something in those lines. I'm not sure how much difference it would make. Maybe it would. And in fact, in here we are primarily ranking the blocks relative to each other, right? So the performance degrades on the SSD, it will affect all the blocks in a similar way, right? We affect the read performance of the blocks in a similar way. I'm assuming that the write performance is also degrading.
Yeah.
The read performance degrades, the write performance will also degrade. And the relatively, what would happen in my opinion is that the ranks will all uniformly go down. But relatively they continue to remain the same, you know, between blocks. So if block A was above block B, because read performance dropped and write performance dropped, the absolute values of those ranks went down, but relatively they are still the same.
Well, I see what you mean. And when we're talking about the flash, supposedly since the performance does not depend on any mechanical latency, all reads are supposed to have the same response time, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess even if the performance dropped, then all of the blocks would have the same performance drop.
Yeah.
Based on that, so yeah.
So, I think that would be the case on an average. There may be some situations that read for one block is worse than a read for a different block, but if you take the average case performance will, I think, drop by the same level across the block. So, but we could try that. I mean, we could try that in an alternate formulation of this equation. What would eventually need to happen is that these equations will have some tunable parameters that we change, maybe give more importance to the read counts versus the popularity, right? So some sort of weighting may be required. And that's why I was thinking that an additive formulation
would be
more tunable, more parameterizable than this one, which is a multiplicative. But I think we can start off with a multiplicative formula, and then we can add parameters and change the formulation a little bit.
It would be fine. Instead, in the best case scenario, it would all add up to 3 instead of multiplying to 1. That's fine.
Yeah, because
like you said, it'd be more tunable because we would just change the percentage of
the importance of each of those
exactly.
Yeah, factors. Yes. So I mean, we could write down both of them. So I would ask you to write down an alternate formulation which has weights associated with each of those terms and a simple summation of. And I think we should take both into account. Maybe there is some value in changing those parameters. Okay,
yeah.
So then 6.1 and 6.2 are the indirect and migrator. So what is 6.0 then?
Oh, 6.0 was supposed to be the workload profiler, but I forgot to add the
section. Okay. Okay, so that's easy. And then this would become 6.2 and 6.3, right? So then indirective. Okay, so what do we have so far? Our idea is to have these three queues, right? And so first of all, the simplest version does not do any three queues or anything of that sort, but rather okay, so we still, let's say we have three queues. There is a one is a disk queue and an SSD queue, which are easy to populate for blocks that are present only in one location. Right? So if it's in the flash only and it's out of date on the disk, then we need to send it to flash. And these are for read requests. Write requests go in the third queue, right? Because there is a flexibility to write data anywhere we want to.
True.
Right?
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, this is the we never talked about the indirector in detail. So the three queue argument I did use to me.
So the three queue has all writes. The third queue has all writes and reads that can be served from either device. And so which means that, but eventually, requests from the third queue have to be indirected to one of the other two device queues. So the real question is, when to make that decision and how do we make that? Right? So Lewis, do you remember what were the discussions that we've had in the past about this?
I think we didn't have much discussion
about when and how.
Yeah.
Okay. So one idea that comes to mind is that of utilizing the merging, the possibility of merging a request with an existing request in either of those two. So what I mean by that is that if there is an adjoining request that already exists in one of the two queues relative to the request in the third queue, then we could dispatch the third queue to be co-located with the adjoining request. By that, what we achieve is that we reduce the number of requests to the device because these two requests will get merged into one.
So we would simply increase perhaps the size of the request and include
this request from 30. That makes sense because we have a choice where to read or write from or where. And then if there is already some work being scheduled for a specific device, we could tag an additional request along and minimize the overhead.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one observation, is that of merging. What else can we do to be smart here?
I have a question concerning that.
Mm-hmm.
The device driver can only service requests at a certain size, right? The size of it.
Well, the maximum size.
Yeah, which on some hard drive is the 4096.
No.
4K?
No, 4K is the size of the request being generated by the file system. But devices typically have much larger limits. And I think Lewis was looking into that some time back.
Yeah. So what were the limits in case of a serial PA? 32 megawatts. And for SCSI, I guess it's even more.
For SCSI, I'm sure it's even more.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, but there is also a limitation of the operating system itself in terms of what is the biggest request it can handle.
The thing is that you want to make the an operating system designer, you want to make the operating system more interactive, right? Mm-hmm. That users don't know that other users are using the same machine. So if you have a, let's say that all the requests have 32 megabytes, then you as a user will notice, you know, the time it would take to finish the
request.
I'm sure.
So operating systems, I think, for instance, Linux has it splits the large requests into multiple parts of size, I think, 256K or something like that.
I think it's 512, but 512. I think they also have some dynamic way of changing that value.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how, but I think they just dynamically change that value.
But this is something, it's a design decision by the operating system. It is not constraint imposed by the hardware. So we could do larger requests if we wanted to.
Okay.
So I think that's not a major concern.
I didn't know that. I was thinking for a while that the buffer was about 4K, and that's why the operating system always allocates 4K. I didn't know it was because of performance. I mean,
well, actually 4K is because the file system manages the disk in units of 4K. But you, having said that, the file system is free to send out larger requests, and it does. If you look at block traces that we collect from systems, the size of the request can be 4K. The minimum size is 4K, but the maximum size is 128K or even larger than that. So there is no fixed size. There is a minimum size that is typically used by the OS, by the file system, which is 4K. But the maximum size is dictated by the hardware, and sometimes by the operating system because it doesn't want to issue too large requests.
Okay. That's good.
Okay, so that's, merging is something that we can employ here. What else can we do to be smart about managing third most requests? So now, I think we have to think carefully about the when question, because when do we make the decision to dispatch from the third queue into one of the device queues, right? Does it make sense to postpone that decision until the latest possible time, or there is some benefit in making an eager decision?
Well, the longer we wait, the greater the chance that we might simply attach it to a request that's already going to that queue. Because we might look throughout the queue and not find a request that fits the parameters.
So you mean the probability of merging increases if we wait longer?
Exactly.
Because there might be a request coming along later on to one of the device queues that is adjacent to the request, but it happens in the future. And if we had waited, then we could have actually used the merging.
But not only that, there are other factors to take into account.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the queue load of the devices.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that as well. So it would also have to depend on the queue load of the devices, which is somewhat related to the response time.
Mm-hmm.
So we might simply use response time for that.
Mm-hmm. So one sort of straightforward policy is exactly that, which is that we do eager dispatch. As soon as the request comes in, if it falls to the third queue, we will immediately dispatch it to one of the device queues. So which means the third queue remains empty more. The requests come in, they get dispatched right away. And we dispatch them based on estimated response times. Right, so that's sort of the simplest load balancing based dispatching. Right? We're just trying to balance the load across these two devices.
Now that I'm thinking, there's also a danger to waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because what if one of the requests modifies the clock in question? So it's no longer valid on one of the devices. What if there's a write request?
A read request.
Write
request.
A write request first. That extends to the block in question.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to check for that, because if there is, then that block is no longer valid on that device. So we have to go to the third queue and remove that block.
That's a good point.
So here's the scenario that I'm thinking of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a write request, and followed by a read request to the same block. Right? Is the same thing you're thinking about?
More or less, yeah.
So you have a write request, and then you held off on the write request. And the read request comes in, but this read request is the same write request. And if that is the case, then we could service the read request directly from the cache, because we still have the write request in there.
No,
that case is not the problem. But you have something else in there.
For example, if there was a delayed read request in the third queue,
mm-hmm.
and among the many requests to the SSD,
mm-hmm.
if there was a write that extends to that block,
mm-hmm.
We would have to check for that, because the write is after and it's actually modifying the block, so that block would no longer, the read request inside the third queue would no longer have a choice in the matter. It would have to be dispatched before that write request.
No, it's not required, because the block layer doesn't provide such a guarantee. The block layer, if you're dispatching asynchronous requests,
mm-hmm.
okay, so you dispatch a read, dispatch a write, they could return in any order. It is the responsibility of the layer above, which is, let's say, the file system or some custom database or whatever it is, to ensure the ordering of IO requests. And therefore, the need for synchronous versus asynchronous, because if you do asynchronous IO, the block layer, the device, does not provide you any guarantees whatsoever in terms of how those requests get dispatched to the device.
Hmm.
So we don't have to worry about that.
We don't.
And actually, if you think about the IO scheduler, the IO scheduler can change the order of how requests happen in the release.
Mm-hmm.
And can change the order of that release, right?
Okay. I thought since we were talking about delaying requests until another one arrives, wouldn't we be changing the order in the first place?
So we are changing the order, certainly changing the order, right?
So what you're saying is that the upper layer will provide the mechanism that ensures even if we change the order,
whatever they're doing is still okay.
It's still okay.
So the responsibility of the layer. I mean, I'm not arguing that this is the way, the right way that block layer should be designed, but that's the current guarantee that is provided, and that is what file system is designed for.
Okay.
They do not assume that IOs are going to be serviced in the order in which they are designed. And the specific case of read after write to the same block is already assumed to be, you need to handle that in a very specific way.
Okay.
All
right.
So we don't need to worry. Now,
well, in that case, it would be better to delay.
The reason to delay is to find, remember that the composition of these queues are changing all the time as the requests are being dispatched.
Yeah.
So, there might be opportunities created by delaying. Are there opportunities that are lost due to delay?
Yes, there is. Let's say one DSSD queue load is low, but at the time, if we delay, we might have an additional request which increases the size of the queue load, but we might not have any the requests that we're looking for, the specific parameters of the request that we're looking for might not be in there. So even though the queue load increase, which means the response time.
So one thing which seems to address that concern would be dispatch the request without any further delay if one of the devices is idle.
Yeah.
Okay. So if the queue is idle, then go ahead and dispatch. There is no reason to delay.
Yeah.
Right. So that would be one way to deal with that situation, which seems very reasonable to do. Delaying it would only is in anticipation of a better
opportunity
which is not guaranteed. But at this time, there is device bandwidth being wasted by delay.
Right.
So go ahead and utilize it. So far, we've talked about one simple load balancer, which is having no third queue and dispatching immediately based on the current load levels of each queue, right? The second is having a third queue and dispatching based on merging, delaying. Then we need to, of course, answer the question, how long can we delay for or should we be delaying for? And all the additional optimization that if a device queue is empty, we dispatch now. Okay, so let's say that timer is expiring for a request and cannot be delayed anymore. Now we have to make a decision where to send it. What do we do? We dispatch based on response times or something else?
It would have to be, well, it depends if it's a read or a write, the current request we're talking about, because if it's a write, then we have to take ranking into account. Since the ranking will determine whether the page will remain, and once we modify that page, that will be just the up-to-date version. It will be similar to the migrating page. So, depending if it's a read or write, we would have to take ranking into account. If
that's
it's a read, we simply do it based on response time. But if it's a write, then we have to do it where the page is ranked the highest.
So does if it's a write request, does is this page rank high enough so that it belongs to the SSD?
Exactly.
And if it doesn't, then it should probably be going to delay because SSD space is more valuable. So that's certainly another important consideration. I think that makes sense. For reads, however, we don't have such a restriction or requirement of dispatching based on write. So for reads, we can have greater flexibility in choosing. How do we choose? that we could base it on response time.
Mm.
Maybe that's the easiest thing to do, is based on response time. Then the delay timer gets expired, right, for read request. For write request, we dispatch based on write.
I was thinking on something else, the main use board. The idea was something like this, right? So we have, this is where the request gets dispatched, and we have here our queues, right? So we see, if we see it's more hard drive, the choice, and the SSD. So the idea is that we have a queue of requests, right? It's a request. I'm just saying that we have two requests here. And we now get a request in the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here, right? So we have these five requests first in the queue, and then we get this one. So we fix the position of this one here and here, right? Which is the position where they would be if there was not hard option, right? So that means that some request will come here. The point is that I guess we have an order of choice, again we have this decision and so on. So the idea is that these two queues will be dispatched differently than the other. Right, so for instance the SSD, I'm guessing that the SSDs will go down faster, right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll go down faster. So this will be dispatched to the first device, to the device. To the device where its relative position in that queue is first reached, right? Like in this case, if I have one request here, one request here, another request here, another request here, then it's his turn. I mean, his turn in this dispatching the request. So we go ahead and dispatch that first. And in some sense, it's good because you don't have. I mean, it's fair because you are giving the opportunity. Or, you know, you are keeping the same, the same position. You're not going faster than some requests that came before, and you're not also slower.
I don't get the point. What is the main point here? I mean, your goal is for fairness?
Yes. That's one thing. And the other thing is that this would be dispatched to the device that is running quicker, right?
Yeah,
it's serving the request faster.
It will also be synchronous. But you said that wasn't really a problem, it being synchronous. Because
what do you mean by synchronous?
Meaning that when the request comes, request that comes after that single request are not serviced before it.
What request? This one?
Yeah, for example, that one. Once you reach that space over here on the SSD, then that request would be served before the request that came after it. For example, you see, let's say the SSD's response time is faster, so these two are quickly this fast, and then come this space over here.
Mm-hmm.
So if this request came after it, then that would be handled before this, so it would be synchronous, and that whichever one, unless of course,
So this is eager dispatch that you dispatch immediately?
No, it's not exactly. You see that you don't dispatch immediately because you dispatch only when one of the hard drive or SSDQ reaches a
point
where it was supposed to be, if that was the only choice.
More like have a shadow this year once whichever one is reached first.
So whichever reaches first, you put it there.
But isn't that similar to doing it on your phone?
It's similar, but then you don't have the question of when to dispatch. And you also don't need to measure explicitly the response time.
True, and in your way, it's active. It's interactive and active. While if we're doing it based on response time, it's more of a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Where if the response time of this is faster, because we really don't know anything about its request.
Hmm.
Let's say it's a huge request and it will change the response time. But at the time, it's not currently being handled.
Hmm.
So therefore, the response time will change in a way that might be significant.
Hmm.
So we already made the choice to send it here based on the response time we had at the time.
I like this way of thinking. The only complication I see is that removing or dequeuing a request from a queue, is that straightforward? I mean,
but you don't have to dequeue.
Well, you had to dequeue it from the other queue if one of the queues dispatches the request to the device.
Because
you're adding the request to the queue. It's just a
no, no, no. Actually, I'm not adding the request to the queue. I'm just keeping the relative position in the queue. So
maybe you add a dummy request on top.
Yeah.
Once it's reached,
mm-hmm.
you're like, okay, the dummy request points to the third queue.
Mm-hmm.
Once you realize that this is not a valid request, you automatically go to the third queue.
I guess it's a matter of implementation, but I'm not sure what it is implemented. Is this in a block layer or in the scheduler?
This stuff is being implemented in the block layer. Right?
The entire thing.
Yeah, I guess if it's in the block layer, it's not a problem, right?
Okay.
So I see it. You wouldn't really have to calculate the response time,
mm-hmm.
and
you don't need to know when
active.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it would depend on the current response of that device.
We need a name for this kind of request.
The dummy request? Which request? The blank one?
Exactly.
The blank one? Yeah,
the blank one.
Fake request. Dummy request.
Yeah. Not a fake, and
basically, it's a request with a address that's outside of the both address space.
No. But conceptually, what we want to put in there is a potential request.
It's a pointer request, indirect request.
Yeah, we need to come up with some interesting name which makes the description more interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, and if we use something like this, it's probably a good idea to compare, versus having all the response time. And
it would be interesting to compare doing it strictly in response time versus
doing it this active method. And this is, I'm assuming, for reads only. Because the writes are going to be dispatched based on write.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, would it make sense? Yeah, actually, writes do have to take into account the rank.
Then probably.
Yeah,
but the thing is that if our choice of where to write a block based on some rank, then it doesn't make sense to wait, but rather to do eager.
Yeah, the writes will have to be eager. Because it's the job of the migrator to make the final choice.
Right.
So the migrator may make the choice of migrating. Because the migrator is doing the same thing. When the request comes, and let's say it's meant to be written on the SSD, but because of rank, we opportunistically pick to write it on the hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do that, this is the same thing that would be happening here inside the in Director, because we have a write request and we have to make a decision of where it goes. If we do it based on response time, then we would be migrating it to the device that has the shortest response time. And that's what we need to avoid that.
We want to avoid that because that may be a temporary phenomenon that you have short response time. We want to migrate based on ranking, and this is a long term.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think how would you implement something like this in the block layer, because it seems like we need the information of the scheduler to be able to know this, right? For instance, that choice of if some queue is empty or some device doesn't have anything to do, that is that information is in the scheduler rather than the block layer.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So there may be some interaction that is required. But I agree that it's more technical issue than a conceptual problem.
Right.
I actually did not think of that. In my diagram, I have the scheduler being under the block layer.
Which is what you have. That's the right thing. Yeah.
Well, didn't we say that since the block layer is on top, it can make requests? For example, to get the queue size from the scheduler.
Yeah, so that's something which is an add-on capability that we need to implement.
Okay.
But it can be done.
Okay. So it doesn't have it already.
It doesn't have it already, but it can be done.
Probably just a matter of calling
the right function.
The right function. Yeah.
But this is nice. I mean, we need to come up with a name for those. Shadow or whatever it is, the right name, right?
Shadow request. We can call them quantum request. Their state is dependent on which one it gets to first, where it gets observed first.
Yeah, that's.
That's what quantum particles do. If you observe it in that state, then therefore it's there. If you don't, it's in both states.
That's nice. Let's pay more attention to that line of thinking. I think that's productive. Okay, so I think the eager dispatch based on response times, this one, I think these two are good enough as a comparative.
Yeah.
And then we, of course, have some basic rules that apply to both, which are that writes get dispatched based on rank, if devices empty, you dispatch right away, so those can be applied to both, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we have sufficient discussion on the indirect. And maybe this week you can just focus on maybe writing out some of these ideas.
Yeah.
And then next week we can come back and talk about the migrator.
Just the migrator, okay. I can do that. Yeah, because what happened when we talk about everything at once, I end up doing a little proportion.
I think this is better that we take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we'll meet again next week. Is that?
So
that works with your employer, right?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
I have the entire day off.
You know, that's really convenient. And
yeah, it is.
No, I think your